Welcome everyone to Yavamos Winter Wonderland.
Welcome everyone to a brand new week and a brand new parak. We are on parak Beis Shammai. Just to avoid confusion, we just finished the 14th parak. Mazel tov, I hope you were there at the Leibetika dancing on Friday. But now we're going back. Now we're doing the 13th parak, because you know Hadra Cholan, right? Hadra Nalach. So if we go back to the 13th, then when we power through, we'll have the opportunity to go to the 14th. So that's what we're holding. The 13th is going to be about Mion, basically. Mion, as we know, is a rabbinic marriage that, generally speaking, is when the girl's father is Nifter Rechman Alatzan, and so then her mother and her brother are able to marry her off while she's a Katana. Midir Rabbanan, they instituted this so that she wouldn't be treated as Hefker. And she has the ability, as we saw from the first daf in her very own Masechta, that she is able to just do Mion, which basically says, no, thank you. And then that undoes the marriage just retroactively, and they're not married, and it's not that there's a process of separation or anything, it's just that it turned out to not have been a thing in the first place. That's the setup for Mion, for what it is. So a rabbinic marriage followed by Mions. Anytime we talk about Mion, we're assuming the marriage is rabbinic. There's technically another type of rabbinic marriage where she could... and she can still do Mion, that's called a Yesoma B'chaye Ha'av. That means that after the father married her off the first time, which while she's a Katana, which is true Midoraisa, not a smart idea, but it's Mutter Midoraisa. So if the father did that, then she's considered to somewhat have left his Rishos at that point. And even if, let's say, her husband dies or whatever, Chas V'Shalom, so now you'd think, okay, he's a father and she's in his Rishos. But no, once he married her off, the Gemara says it was a little bit like betraying her to marry her off while she was so young. So once he did that, he lost his right to do it again. But the Rabbanan instituted another time he could do it, that he could do it a second time now. That's rabbinic, just in, you know, if it's necessary. And that you could have Mion on also. So basically, Mion is either first marriage, or I guess only marriage, set up by the mother and brother, or set up as the second marriage by the father. Before we start the actual Mishnah, I just want to remind everyone that today is Snowman Sunday, which means, I would just confirm that. The contest rules are as follows. Make a snowman. Pretty simple. You can do it out of snow. You can do it out of wool. You could do it out of Play-Doh. It doesn't have to be white. Right? That should go unsaid by now in 2026. I don't know why people are even thinking it has to be white. It could be made out of carrots. Whatever. I don't care. Just make a snowman. It doesn't actually have to be a snowman. So I guess it's just a man, but in the shape of a snowman. And I think we all know what I'm talking about. You could draw it. You could sculpt it. You could use an auto pen. You can use a 3D printer. The only thing you can't use is an AI image generator. Anything else is fine. Microsoft Paint is fine. It's also not fine to use the image generator and then just crop the image so it doesn't say AI in the box. That also doesn't count. But anything that you actually make a snowman, even though it's not really a snowman, it's an artistic representation of a snowman. Please no political messages if you can avoid them. And that is that's the contest. And with that, very different, let's begin the Mishnah. Beis Shammai Omri. Now we already know why the parak is called that. Beis Shammai say, Ein mema'anin ela arusos. This whole rule of Mion is only while she's still in Arusa. If there's been a Nisuin, if they're fully married now, she is not allowed to. She is not allowed to do Mion. Mion is only during the betrothal stage. Even though betrothal is full halachic marriage midoraisa, except this case because it's rabbinic. But still, no. Arusa erusin, they're allowed to do Mion, and that's it. Beis Hillel disagree. Beis Hillel amrim arusos unusuos. Even at erusin, sorry, even at nisuin. Beis Shammai amrim, another question. What about, literally speaking, can she do, let's say there's a Yibum situation, right? She marries the first guy, Midrabanan, and then he dies, and they haven't had kids yet, and the brother marries her. Can you do Mion to that girl? Bishame says, no. Baal, only to the Baal. Bishil Omer Baal of the Yavam. No, you actually could do it to the Baal, or to the Yavam, either way. Third question, do you need the Baal to be physically present to do Mion, or can she just say to other people, let's say to Adam, that she doesn't want the marriage anymore? Bishami Omrim Bifanov. That Bishami says, no, it has to be in his presence. Bishil Omrim Bifanov, Vishal Bifanov. It could be in his presence or not in his presence. One more Machokas. Does this, I really, too. Does this have to be done in Beis Din? So Beishamai says yes. Beishamai Beis Din, Beisilu Beis Din, Vishaloba Beis Din. Either in court or not in court. Doesn't have to be in Beis Din. So basically, we had now so far four arguments, all of which Beishamai was the more stringent. Amrulham Beishamai, Beishamai, Beishamai. Even four or five times. You could do it once and then remarry and then another one and then remarry and she could just keep doing Mion, no problem. Beishamai says, nah. Ain't Benos Yisrael Hefker. The daughters of Israel aren't Hefker. This is like borderline inappropriate. The fact that she keeps setting up these half marriages and all she has to do to get out of them is just to say, no, never mind, no thank you. Right? Like, it's basically as if all these marriages are temporary at the outset. That's considered inappropriate. And we can't do that to a Yiddish girl. So rather, no, she only gets to do Miyun once. She does Miyun, then she waits until she becomes an adult. In other words, she can't get remarried. And then, don't worry, the Gemara is going to ask about this. She has to do a second Miyun on her husband. So she already did Miyun on her first husband. She went home. Then, right at her bas mitzvah, in her bas mitzvah speech, she gives another Miyun, and the second refusal to the same guy, and then she gets remarried. So let's ignore that detail for now. The point is, how many times can she do Miyun? The answer is one. All right, that's the Mishnah. So obviously, as Gemaras do, we want to explain the different things in the Mishnah. So the first thing we want to explain is this machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, to can she do Miyun to a nesut while she's already fully married or not? So we're going to see a few approaches as to what this argument is about. I'm reviewing Rabbi Shmuel. Says the name of Shmuel. My time, what's the reason? De Beis Shammai, oh, Beis Shammai. How do we say that in plain English? What's Beis Shammai's reason? Ufisha ain tanai b'nesuin. A little complicated. First of all, I guess helpful thing. If somebody gets married, so we know all over the Masechtas, everywhere, is that there's such a thing as Kiddushin al Tanai. Somebody could make a Kiddushin with a condition that XYZ, on a condition someone pay someone money, on a condition that somebody learn how to dance the mazinka in time for the wedding, whatever it is. You can make conditions in Kiddushin, and that's all fine. But in Nisuin, there is no room for conditions, meaning that once the Nisuin happens, you cannot do a Nisuin al condition, because at that point we say, Ein Adam Osa Be'ilaso Be'ilas Znos. And therefore, the Nisuin, that's the simple explanation, and therefore, the Nisuin is, we just assume already that the Nisuin is going to be totally full and absolute and complete. Another way to understand it is that he's so happy that he's having Nisuin that he'll really be mochel any tanaim he makes. Bottom line is that we assume in advance that, yeah, the Kiddushin was contingent, but as long as it hasn't been broken by the time of Nisuin, not only are there no conditions makeable for a Nisuin, but also any Tanaim that were at the time of the Kiddushin, any conditions, are invalid now. Now we just say null and void. This is a full marriage. So let's imagine the situation. If you have a guy and a girl, and he's a Mekadesh her, and then whatever it is, and either she makes him write in a condition or he writes in a condition, the condition is broken. Before the Nisuin, then the marriage dissolves automatically. Okay, Hashem. But if that same condition is violated after the Nisuin, too bad. We assume at that point there are no more Kiddushin, no more conditions, and therefore they're fully, absolutely married in every sense of the word. So let's imagine now a Katana. She's a Katana, she gets married, and then, she walks out before the Nisuin. So if she walks out before the Nisuin, I understand. No one's going to get confused. Everything is very simple because the passerby is just going to say, yeah, okay, this happens. This is just like that other condition down the street where they had made a condition and it didn't work out and she got to walk. Fine. But if the neighbor goes to the wedding, or if they have a nisuin and now they're fully married and they're living together for a year, and then the next day she walks out and they don't hear anything about a get, and she just walks out and it just seems like the marriage is null and void, then the neighbor is like, wait a minute, I went to that wedding. So what's going on? What do you mean the marriage is null and void? The answer is, he will erroneously conclude that apparently there was a Tanai that wasn't kept, rendering the marriage null and void. And there, and he will conclude from there that a tanai, a condition to a marriage, even works after nisuin, which is absolutely untrue. So even though he's wrong, and the reason their marriage dissolved had nothing to do with the condition, had to do with mion, which is a special right she has. However, he doesn't realize that, and that will confuse people. People will think that a tanai after nisuin is still valid, and that's a real problem. As we're talking about daraisa, adult marriages, where people are just going to walk out, and they're still married. It's obviously terrible. So therefore, as a protection, that's why Beis Shammai says you can't do it. That's this approach. So l'fisha ein tanai v'nisuin, there are no conditions when it comes to, or stipulations when it comes to nisuin. L'vi'in nisua t'mayin, and therefore if a nisua will do miyun, Asigamemar, people will come to say yesh tanai b'nisuin. People will think that there is such a thing as a stipulation in nisuin, which again is absolutely untrue. The Gemara asks, okay, I understand the case. By the way, I just want to point out that means that Beis Shammai is saying in lamda siyah, really she could still do miyun in principle. It's just that we don't allow her to due to a concern. But the mechanics of what miyun is are the same, which is good to know. Okay. The Gemara asks Akasha, Nichlasa l'chuppah. What about a case where they have the chuppah? She goes and stands under the marital canopy, below nivala, and she did not have nisuin. She didn't have bia, so it's just the chuppah. And then right after the chuppah, whatever, he drops the ring or he sneezes or whatever, and she just can't stand it and she walks away. Chas. So in that case, they've had chuppah, and but they have not had nisuin. So really, stipulations are still binding at that point. So right at the beginning of the chuppah. So Mayakal Mimer, what is Beis Shammai gonna say in that case? Why does he not allow miyun there? There, no one's gonna get confused because there still is a tanai in chuppah, I think. And therefore, even if a neighbor sees and concludes that there are such things as fulfilling condition stipulations when chuppah, that's all right. The Gemara says no, Lufisha ain't tanai b'chuppah, because actually, there is no condition on stipulations when it comes to chuppah. So it's the same concern that we had before is still relevant by chuppah too. Who asks about another case? Masra avu shulchei haba'al. What about a case where the father gave her over to the agents of the husband? Ma'ikal ha'meimar. So just to add a little point, it's a little interesting. So I'm going to add a simple thing, and then I'm going to say the Gemara's line, and then I'm going to add a little more complicated thing. So this is a really simple point, but there's maybe a very basic question that should be troubling us. There's another type of nisuin that can be done. Nisuin doesn't always have to be bia. One type of nisuin is when the father gives the girl over to the agents of the baal, in the shliach of the baal. In certain cases, that can be considered nisuin, and that's what we're about to talk about in our Gemara here. So I'm going to say that over, and then I'll say the complicated point. Where it asks, Masra avu shulchei habaal, that's a case of nisuin, but over there, clearly, really in that type of nisuin, there should be able to make a stipulation. Even if it were d'oraisa, you should still be able to make a stipulation in that case. Because we said that the reason you can't make a stipulation in nisuin is everyone's feeling all lovey-dovey, right, because they're getting married, and it's really exciting, and we're talking happy for them. And therefore, they're mochel any tanai that they make. And even if they say a condition, they don't really mean it. That's what we assume in halacha. But in this case, where he's just, the father's just delivering the daughter over to the agents of the baal is not even there. So she doesn't feel anything special. He doesn't feel anything special. She's basically, she's just at UPS brings her over to the next stage. Now it's dispatched if it's Amazon.co.uk. And then it goes to, whatever, in transit. So she just went from dispatch to in transit. She doesn't feel special. He doesn't feel special. So they're not mochel, any conditions they make. So therefore, or no, I'm saying this is a simple point, but it really is pretty simple. Therefore, they should be able to make a condition in the Nisuin. Because there's nothing wrong, be'etzem, with making a condition in Nisuin. It's just that we assume usually people are feeling so special and smiley that they're going to forgive any tonight. But here, even though they're very smiley personalities, but they're not feeling like, oh yeah, okay, of course I'll be mocha anything, because nothing really happened between them, even though it's a nisuin. So in that case, first of all, d'oraisa, really you could make a condition. And therefore, a question on Beis Shammai, then in that case, In that case, when the father gives her over, even though it's a nisuin, she should be able to make a condition, and therefore she should be able to do miyon, because we're not concerned about anything. Gemara answers, lo plogra banan. That's true, but the rabbis didn't distinguish. Once we said nisuin, we wanted one simple final ruling that just clarifies all nisuin cases, and we paskin no miyon. That's it. Because again, in mechanics, you really could do miyon. We're just saying no because of chashash. We're not going to draw confusing lines between, and we're just going to say one rule, simple, good. Now here's the basic problem. Rashi, it's just the Gemara. The Gemara says, what type of nisuin are we talking about here? We're talking about a nisuin of the father passing over to the agents of the Baal, which is said is a nisuin. Now here's the problem. If the father's alive, then how is he giving her over in nisuin, and then she's doing miyun? We already said that if the father gives the girl over in nisuin or in kiddushin, if the father is the one giving over, that's doraisa. She cannot do miyun. So she can't do miyun. So what do you mean? Oh, what's the din? What she should be allowed to do miyun? No, forget about the chashashes that we have. Just practically, of course she can't do miyun. She's just a married woman, midoraisa, and there's no miyun of that. That's the question. Now the simple answer is, as we mentioned before, that there are two types of miyun. The one type of miyun is that one type of miyun is a rabbinic marriage, is that the father already married her off once, and then that marriage ended. And now the Chachamim instituted that even though midoraisa, he can't remarry her again. He can't marry her off again, but midorabanan, he's allowed to marry her off one more time. So that she could do miyun. So the simple pshat here is that when it says Masar Avu Shuchei Abal, the father gave her over to Shuchei Abal, and we want it to be a rabbinic marriage, very easy. It's the girl's second marriage. And we said that if the father gives her over for a second marriage, that's rabbinic. That's nice and simple. That answers the whole question. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, Lav Davka, it's not really the father. It's rather the mother and the adult brothers. And you can see in Rashi, the reason it chose that Lashon. But bottom line is that the father's not alive and the mother and brothers give her over. And that's what we're talking about. And that there's rabbinic nisuin even when the mother or brother give her over to the shluchei haba'al. Okay, good. So now that is what Rashi says, lav davka. But we had a nice and simple shot. Just let it be the second marriage. Why are we assuming that the father's dead, and even though the words say the father passed her over? So Rashi's making a pretty big lav davka here. So the Ritva concludes from this Rashi that Rashi holds that actually no. Once she ended her first marriage, he actually cannot create another marriage for him, even midrabanan. So Rashi holds there's only one type of rabbinic marriage. So that's just an interesting thing. If it didn't interest you, that's okay. You can work on yourself later. Let's move on to the second answer in the Gemara. Actually, I'm sorry. This is all good. So Beishameh told me the setup, and we understood in the different cases that in a chuppah, let's say, and in a normal nisuin, where a tin condition cannot be made, therefore they did not let her do miyun. But in this case of passing her over to the agents of the Baal, there a miyun could be done, could be done in principle, because their conditions could be made. But we said, little plug, we're not going to make a distinction. And that's where we ended that. But that's all Beis Shammai. What about Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel say, Meida yadi din nisuin katana d'rabbanan inu. Everybody knows that any nisuin for a katana is only rabbinic. And therefore, especially because the father is not alive in that case, so everyone chaps, this is a special type of situation that's only rabbinic, and we're not concerned that people are going to think that she is, that it was because of a tanai. So that's it. The second answer follows the same structure, but it's pretty straightforward. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Tamar Tavai. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both say, Tama de Beis Shammai de Lufi Shein Adamos Abigos Abigos Nos. The idea is that people don't want their bia to be a bia znus, meaning that if we're saying in advance that she could always just walk out of all of this, that means that basically it's a lot like a non-Jewish marriage. If you look in the beginning of the Rambam, right, the people decide they're going to live together and they could just live together for as long as they want, and when it's no longer amenable to them, she could just walk out, and that's not a Jewish marriage. A Jewish marriage is a bond for life. A Jewish marriage is, you know, there's a kedusha to it, and they can't just find each other in the shuk. You know, if you look all over the Rambam, it's this special connection between people. There's a lot of halachic framework to it, and the difference is basically that, you know, whatever, we see this sometimes with people who are in Yiddisha, which is okay, right, because it's not their job to be, but sometimes they do this thing where they want to know if they're compatible marriage material for each other. So what they do is they live together, right, to figure it out. Now, what some of them don't realize, this may be an interesting shaila in the poskim, is that in halachic definition, that is marriage for someone who's not Jewish. Two people living together as long as they want to. That's literally what marriage is for them. So, but by them, that means that all the bias they're doing, right, they're all with the understanding that if tomorrow, whatever, if he leaves the toilet seat up, then, okay. But that adds a little bit of an inappropriateness, right, to all the times that they're together, because it's with that kind of an attitude. And a yid wouldn't do that. No, we're not allowed to, and we wouldn't do that. So when it says that, that's what it means, that we assume in halacha that nobody would want that. So therefore, nobody's gonna want, if she's allowed to do miyun when she's in nesuah, that means they're gonna be married for like 2 years, and then she just walks out. It's not a Jewish marriage. That's a bilas nus. So therefore, he doesn't want that, and therefore we don't let him do that. The Gemara asks the Kasha. That's all very good when we're talking about cases where bia has actually happened. And that's why we're saying that we don't want him to enter a situation where he's going to feel like that. But the Gemara says, no, nichnasu l'chuppah v'lo nivala. What about that case where she had nisuin because of chuppah, but they haven't had bia yet? So then, whatever, it's just a chuppah. So she should be able to do miyun. Mayakal Meimar, what does B'Shama say there? No, lo nichai de tehavi chuppah d'Yisur. Not only that, the beauty, the intensity of the Jewish people, that even chuppah, everyone knows, right, in this famous Gemara, everyone knows why a challah goes into the chuppah, right? It takes on a little more meaning now. That the chuppah is a preliminary to the bia. That's what it is in halacha. And so, therefore, even that a yid wouldn't want to be considered inappropriate. Meaning that even though, like, he won't do a chuppah, it's just really like a mikam chal Yisrael. He doesn't even want to enter a chuppah that he knows there's a chance that 5 minutes later she's going to walk out. Because the chuppah itself is inappropriate, because the chuppah is leading towards something. I mean, even though it never did lead towards something, I'm afraid. We're not saying anything actually happened. Even if anything happened, it was mutter. But still, he keeps those kind of gedarim for himself. If you look in Rashi, all over, it's interesting. You compare Znus and Kedusha, but Rashi talks about that Kedusha comes from every time you find a geder erva. And a geder erva, it doesn't just mean holding back, right? It means, right, that's not what a gether is. A gether is a fence that you put up even before the place. Right? That's true kedusha, Rashi says, meaning that you just make any situation impossible. So, meaning that's the point, adding extra fences, right? The fences aren't just to be like, whatever on oneself. The point of the fences is to add kedusha to where one is. So it's like if you had a bunch of kids who like to play on the railroad, and then one of the third rail, whatever, that's electrified. So if you put a fence around the third rail, it's not like to restrict the kids from going to the thing. It's so that the kids can go play on the railroad and have fun and not get hurt. And it changes the whole thing, right? If you've ever gone on a tall roof or whatever, something fun to play on, if there's no fence, it's fun. But then when you get to the end, you kind of have to slow down. You can't really play a good game of tackle football. But if you put up a good fence on the edge of that roof, then now the roof becomes a play zone. Right? So that's kind of whatever. That's one of the gains of a geder erva. The kedusha is this feeling that someone feels when I can fully invest myself in everything that I'm doing, and I don't have to the raya to this in Revolbi, and I don't have to hold myself back at all because I've built such strong fences that there's no reason for me to hold myself back. It's not relevant. So that's that. What does that have to do with this? Because we're saying that even the chuppah itself, which is just a preliminary in halacha, and it's a one standalone process, so it's really just a geder, sort of. It's a geder of nisuin, and even that he doesn't want that to be inappropriate, even though it's not inappropriate. Wow. Okay. But umasara avu shulchei aba'al. What about the other case where the father gives her over to the shulchan of the ba'al? And we said that's a nisuin, and that's literally nothing. So Michael Maymar, that case is it's not a preliminary. It's just he just delivered her over. Boom, nisuin. So he should allow me in there. No, lo plugger abanan. Rabbis didn't distinguish. Very nice. What about we saw? This is a good point, right? Aren't Yidden worried that people are going to think that what they're doing is inappropriate? The answer is yes, But kevan de'ika kedushin uksuva, since there is a kedushin uksuva, since the rabbis actually set that up, this is not something inappropriate. No one's going to say that it's bios. It's just a normal marriage. So that is what Rav Beisalel says. Third answer. What about the third answer? Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says, Tama de Bishamim Mishum Payday, Tama de Bishamim Mishum Payday. The idea of payday is basically, it just means fruits. It means that when a woman gets married to her husband, she brings in some fields with her sometimes, and the husband has the right to use those fruits, to eat those fruits. So now, Bisham is worried. Tama de Bishamim, yeah, Tama de Bishamim Mishum Payday. Shama's reason is because of Pere. Why? De'i amrit nesuati mine. If you tell me that someone who does nesuim can do mion and walk out, then he knows in advance she could walk out at any moment. And therefore, shamet v'achol l'mineh. He's going to chop all the produce. He's going to eat the whole thing. Right? Like the opposite of the Lorax. He's going to take all of the fruits off the field, leave the ground bare with no fruits. Totally mess her over. Why? The sof sof will make bat kaima because he thinks that she could walk out. And I guess if he treats her that way, and pacha she will. So then he, we're worried about that. We want her to protect her property, and therefore we don't allow mion after nisuin. But by kedushin, where he doesn't own the property yet, that's not a concern. Beis Hillel says, adrabba, on the contrary, kevan de amris de amrat tima'ein. That since he knows she could walk out at any moment, he's going to improve the property. He's going to add fences. He's going to plant nice trees. He's going to do all that stuff. Why suffer to Elo? Because he thinks to himself that if no, then Aitzi Krove. Aitzi is from Lashon of Eitzah. Her friends, her relatives will give her Eitzah, will give her advice. It's already the first mistake. Umafki, just joking. Umafki lo amine, and they will then it will cause her to leave him. Meaning. He has to improve the property, he has to be a good hubby, because if not, then chas v'shalom. Rava Amar, final answer. Hanu tamad de Bisham. Bisham is reason. She'ein adam tareach b'seudo mafsido. Basically, we want people to actually marry this girl. That's the point. And if everyone knows they're going to have to throw a whole elaborate wedding, this was before takanas were instituted, but it was also before weddings were elaborate. But still, it was a lot harder back then. You saw in the Gemara, it took people, and Ksuvos, it took people a whole year to prepare for a wedding, a whole year. And so if he's going to spend a whole year preparing a wedding and working really hard to make it work and everything, and then he finds out she could just walk out the next day, he's not going to do that. And he won't marry her. He'll marry someone that's not a concern. He'll marry an adult. Shein adam tareach b'seudo mafsida. People will not create a whole meal just to waste it. And Basilo says no. Tarvai, really, actually people will sort of in this case. It's true. People won't just stam do that. But this is a special case. Tarvayu nichu. We are both of them are okay with it. Kedei delepok alayu kala de ishus. We want people to know that they're married, right? Whatever. It's sort of a joke, but often you maybe you hear this from random people that like once someone gets engaged, all of a sudden everyone starts, I guess hearing their name, and then all the shadchanim start giving them ideas. I have a lot of friends who people all of a sudden reach out to them out of the blue shortly after they got engaged to try to set them up. Obviously, that's not a good idea. But and that I don't know if that's pshat here in the Gemara. I assume that's not pshat. But the fact that they be married, everyone wants them. They want everyone to know that they're married, and they're willing to even risk wasting that whole meal just for that. Okay. No, so the next machlokas was: could she do mion to a yavam, the brother who now marries her after his brother had died, or only to the baal? Obviously, this will only be a kedushin. Case a yavam from kedushin because yavam from nisuin b'shamay holds anyway you can't do it. Rav Oshaya said, she can do miyun to his ma'amar zikaso, but she cannot do miyun to his zika. Now we had seen in the Mishnah that the second point of Beis Hillel is that she could do miyun to not just the husband himself, but even after he dies and the other brother comes to her through Zika to the other brother, that she can do Miyun the Yavam as well. She can do Miyun on the Yavam as well. So then, here's the question. What does that mean? There are technically, I guess, a few ways that she could relate to the Yavam. One way is nice and simple, that she can do Miyun on the whole first marriage. And by doing Miyun on the whole first marriage, therefore, the marriage is completely annulled, and that includes the Yavam. That's one option. Another option would be that there's this thing called Ma'amar, Maimer, which means basically that while there are a bunch of brothers who could marry this girl through Yibum, one of the brothers steps up and does sort of a rabbinic kiddushin of Yibum, basically, where he does Maimer. Again, it's pretty much a kiddushin, but midrabbanan in this case of Yibum. Maybe on that, which doesn't make them fully married, it just basically gives him the rights, it gives him certain rights, and he's the one who gets to do Yibum with her now and all that kind of stuff. So maybe she can do Miyan on that Maimer, thereby nullifying the Maimer, which leaves her back at square one, which is with the dead husband and a bunch of brothers to Zika with her. And I guess a third option is theoretically that she can't just do Miyan on the whole thing before a Yibum. She can't do Yibum. She maybe could do Yibum on this Maimer of the brother, maybe, maybe not. But once a brother actually does Yibum with her, which means the Zika, quote unquote, goes away, now she can do Yibum on her new husband by retroactively nullifying all the marriages. But if she had done that while the brother had not done Yibum yet, maybe she did not have the ability to do that because there's no one to do Yibum Miyan too. I don't know. So that's going to be the machlokas. I'm Rabbi Oshaya. Rabbi Oshaya holds. She could do Miyan to his Maimer. Like we said, he tries to do the rabbinic whatever, she accepts it, and then she can undo it. But she can't do Miyan to the entire Zika, meaning that, let's say again, the brother, her first husband had died, now there are all these brothers, they're connected to her with something called Zika. Let's point out that this is only rabbinic, because the marriage is only rabbinic. She could not do Miyan to undo that. She can only do Miyan to undo the Maimer. That's what Bezalel says. Rechista says, why? My time with Rabbi Yoshua, why does Rabbi Yoshua say that? Maamar, the answer is, Maamar demidata matzia akra. Maamar demidata, with her consent, matzia, she can uproot. Since Maamar is her consent, you can't force Maamar on a lady. So she either accepts it or doesn't. So therefore, she can uproot it, because she had the authority to say no in the first place. But Zika debaal korcha. But the Zika itself, which is against her will, all that happened is her husband died, and automatically there's Zika, no matter whether she wants it or not. Lo matzi akra, she cannot undo, she cannot uproot. So that's what we said. While the man is alive and there's been no Yibum or Chalitza, she cannot just do Miyan on the whole thing and walk away. She needs Yibum. She can't have Chalitza, probably, but she needs Yibum. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? I have another case which is against her will, and she can uproot it. Once there's the bia, which is against her will, we know that already. Meaning, it's not necessarily that it's against her will, but it doesn't need her consent. We saw that in Haba'al. But she could undo that, meaning everyone knows that once you said you can do Miyan on the first husband, so once she's already had Yibum with the second husband and now she's married to him, she could do Miyan on him there. Now there we said the bia happens ba'al korcha, and still she can do miyun. So don't tell me that she can't undo the whole Zika itself and let her walk free after her husband dies because it's against her will. You see, she can do thing undo things that are against her will. Why is Zika any different? Gemara says, rather, it's not exactly that. It's not about ba'al korcha or not ba'al korcha. It's about bia uma'amar dehu ka'avid. Bia u'ma'amar is something that the man does, meaning that's something humans create. He tries to do bia, he tries to do ma'amar, so matzi akra, she can undo that. It's an act of a human. Of Zika, derachmana rama Allah, lo matzi akra. But Zika doesn't come from the person. Derachmana rama Allah, it comes from the Torah. Hashem just says there is Zika, even though this is derabanan. But the point is that it's not something that anybody did. If a human did it, a human can break it. But here, a human didn't do it. So therefore, lo matzi akra, she cannot undo it. So bottom line, she can undo the mimer, she can undo the actual yibum, like once they're married, but she cannot undo the zika itself because that's just not a human thing. It's outside of her realm of ability. Ula Amar, Ula says, I disagree. Mima enes afla zika so. She can even do miyun to the zika, even undo the whole thing, and she could just walk away. Why? Isn't the Zika something that's just created from Hashem? Yes, but she's not really undoing Zika. She's undoing the whole thing. Nisue kamai ka'akra. She's not uprooting the Zika. She's uprooting Nisue, the marriage, kamai, of the first guy. She's uprooting the first guy's marriage, and that's the pshat. So therefore, she can undo it. So that's the Machlokas. Ulo says she can undo the whole marriage and therefore Zika, and Rav Oshaya says no. Esei Rav Ulo, we're going to challenge Ulo. How do we see this? We had a Mishnah that we saw. Kol Sheyachol Lama'en Melomiana. When we had all of these ervas, how they pater the tzara. So one of the things we saw at the end of the Mishnah is, and again, let's just. I'm not going to bother us with all the calculations, but bottom line, you have a girl who's an erva to the yavam, right? So there's a man who is married and he dies, and his brother is supposed to marry his wife, but his wife is related to the brother, and therefore he can't marry her because she's an erva to him. Fine. Not only is there no mitzvah of yibam or chalitza for her, there's also no mitzvah of yibam or chalitza for any of the co-wives. It's called saras erva. By now, unless you just started the semester, you've probably heard about this at least one time. And you probably understood it at least one time, hopefully. But fine. So you have these saras ervas. So we know that if they're really married, if the erva is really married to the first guy, so then she's an erva and yibam, there's no mitzvah of yibam, whatever exactly that means, she walks, and not only does she walk free, but any other co-wives walk free, and not only that, if they ever remarry anyone, saras erva, et cetera, all these people go free. That doesn't matter so much for us. What happens if the whole marriage is derabanan? What happens if Reuven is married to two women, one of whom is just a random shpinzi off the street? I'm sure she has amazing midos and excellent personality, and, but in terms of halacha, she's a random person off the street. And then he also has a rabbinic marriage with a katana, who is an erva of his brother. So then, when Reuven dies, this girl is an erva to him, and she's an erva d'oraisa, but she's only rabbinically married to Reuven. So the whole yibam is only rabbinic. So you can't say that she. I mean, obviously she could walk. I can understand that she might not need yibam or chalitza, but you're going to say her tzara goes free without yibam or chalitza? Of course not, because mid'oraisa. This girl, the katana, is not actually married to the guy. So she's midoraisa. This lady, shprintzi from the street, is not a tsaras arva. So if she's not a tsaras arva, then obviously she really should have yibum or chalitza with Shimon. Why can she not have yibum? Because midorabanan, she's a tsaras arva. But she still needs chalitza. That's clear. That's the Mishnah. So that's what it says. Kol she yichol lama'an v'lamiyana, anyone who could do mion, meaning their marriage is rabbinic. However, they happen to have not done neon. The bottom line is anyone who has a standing rabbinic marriage, Tsarasa Choletzes Fulamis Yabemes, that Tsara receives Chalitza, ay, she does not receive Yibam. But let her receive Yibam. Why? Well, we should tell the girl, Timayin Hashta, just do Mion. Let the girl do Mion. It's Akrinu Nesuei Kamai. She can undo the first marriage. This is Yavim Tsarasa. And then the Tsara can have actual Yibam. Shprintzi from the street is an amazing girl. Excellent personality. Went to all the right schools. Her family has all the right hashkafos. What's wrong with her? She wants to rebuild Reuven's family. Shimon wants to rebuild Reuven's family. It's a perfect Shidduch min haShemayim. And now we're saying, Midirabanan, they can't get married because of this rabbinic marriage to to his Arva. Great. Just let that girl undo the marriage, according to Ula, and then she's not in a Tsaras Arva, and everything's fine. So why can't they do this? No, because the answer is Tsaras Arva Shani. Tsaras Arva is different. The Mion won't help in that case. Even though really she could do Mion, but the Mion won't help a Tsaras Arva, as we're about to see why. The point is essentially that once he died, and once there's a Yibum already, basically, sorry, not the Yibum, once he died, and once there's a Zika, then even though it's true that the Mion undoes the entire marriage and there is really nothing there, according to Ula, still it has the appearance that there was something there, and that's going to make the Tsar's Arvaser too, as we're about to see. The Sani Rami Bar Yecheskel. We have a Braita from Rami Bar Yecheskel. Miana Baba'al, if she did Mayon on the husband, Mataris Laviv, she can marry the husband's father, even though normally a woman is not allowed to marry her husband's father, even after their marriage. Why? Because it's an erva, right? But here, no, because it's not an erva. She did Mion. She was never related to the husband, and therefore she's never related to the husband's father. But if she did Mion to the Yavam, to the brother, Asura Laviv, she cannot marry the husband's father. Why? Alma, what do we see? Alma, we see. Bishas Nefila, at the time of Nefila, meaning once the guy died, and therefore she falls in Zika, already Niris Kechalaso. She looks like his daughter-in-law. Meaning she looks like she's really married, even though we're undoing the marriage, but people think that she is. It looks a little bit like she is. The Rishonim discuss why. Why would people think that? But at the end of the day, that's what it looks like. And similarly, Hachanami here too, b'shas nefila nearest katsaras bito. At the time of nefila, it looks like the tzara of the daughter. It happens to not be a tzara sarva, but it looks like a tzara sarva once you bring Yibam into the equation. And therefore, it's true. And therefore, she cannot do Yibam. And once she cannot do Yibam, there's no point in her doing Miyum. Fine. Very fancy lamdas coming up right now. We kind of skipped the previous fancy lamdas. What happens according to Ula? We said you can do Miyum and that dissolves the whole marriage. Now, you'd think that if you could dissolve the whole marriage, that means that let's say there are 11 brothers and she does Miyum to one of them. Meaning one guy tries to marry her, whatever, she does Miyum. So now it should be that she is totally, once she said, let's say she's forbidden to the first brother, because meaning, yeah, sorry, I mean, so do that again. I'm not even going to edit it, it's simple enough. We said that you can undo it. Now, we said that if you undo it after death, then rabbinically, she's still an erva. So that means, let's say, that if there's only one surviving brother and she does miyun, then Midoraisa, she's completely mataris to him because she's not really his brother's wife. She was never really married to his brother. But Midorabanan, since she did Miyun after the death, therefore we say Midorabanan, she's his brother's wife. That's clear by one guy. Let's say there are 11 brothers, or two. I just like using 11. So let's say there are 11 brothers. So now one of them does Miyun, tries to do Yibam or whatever. She does Miyun. So Midoraisa, we said she's mutter to him, but Midorabanan, she's also his brother's wife. But with respect to the other brothers, the other 10, so what's the story with them? Right, Yisachar, he hasn't been in the story. So first she was a rabbinic possible to fall in Yibam to him. Then she did Miyun to Levi. And now she's not married to Levi Midoraisa. No connection with Levi Midoraisa, but it looks bad, and therefore she can't marry him. But Yisachar, before that Miyun, she was able to marry him. Midoraisa, Midorabanan, she was able to marry him. So once that's true, we should say, maybe we could say that Levi could still do Yibam, even though she did, quote unquote, did Miyun to one of them, but she doesn't necessarily do Miyun to all of them. That's the question. Now we want to bring in a proof from something interesting that happens. We know that, let's just imagine everybody's married Doraisa, yeah? Girl is whatever, she's 21, she's married, husband dies, no children, she falls in Yibam. So we know that the only avenues that actually matter Midoraisa are Yibam and Chalitza. What happens if one of the brothers gives a get? Which is just wrong. It doesn't matter. But Midrabbanan, we say it's sort of a partial chalitza. And since we say that, that means if one of the brothers gives a get, now Midrabbanan, she is just an Eishes Ach with no mitzvah of Yibam, meaning that none of the brothers are allowed to marry her. So by that one brother giving the get, he is Midrabbanan, made her forbidden to all the other brothers. The question is, if she does miyun to one of the brothers and her rabbinic thing, is that like one of the brothers giving her a get? So that's the question. So Rav says, Amar Rav, Mia Nebezah, if she did miyun to one brother, then she is prohibited to all the brothers, Midi Dehava Ba'alas Get, just like Ba'alas Get, just like the one who received a get, which anyway is only rabbinic. Ba'alas Get, by where she received a get. Alav, Kevan, don't we say, meaning we do say, Kevan de Tasra l'chad, that since she became Asur to one of them, Itasra l'chulu, she became Asur to everyone. Hachanami, Loshna, so too here, same thing. She became Asur to Levi, she's Asur to Yisachar, Zvulun, God, Naphtali, Dan, Asher. So continuing on, that's one opinion. We just said, what? We just said that it is just like Ba'alas Get, meaning that everyone is Asura to her. But Shmuel says something totally not. Here we go. Shmuel Amar Miyon Abazet Mutaris Lazet. If she does Miyon to Levi, she's allowed to marry Naphtali. Why? Dilo Damiyon Ba'alas Get. It's actually not like Ba'alas Get. Ba'alas Get who de kavid ba. Ba'alas Get, he's the one acting towards her. We're going to explain this in a minute, but he's the one acting towards her. I'll just say it now. He's the one acting towards her. The simple way to explain this is that he is taking an act on behalf of all the brothers. All he can do, the Torah gave him one license of what he's doing, and the rabbinically also, he's stepping up and doing a certain thing. And since he's the agent of all the brothers, basically, so he only has the avenues available to him, if that makes sense. And the usually the way it works when it comes to Yibam is one person acts on behalf of all the brothers. So therefore, he is acting, and he can't limit his action. But here she's doing towards him, meaning she's not using one of the mahalchim of Yibum Rechalitza, which works through this mechanism that the guy is acting on behalf of all the brothers. It's a much different thing. She is saying, "I'm not interested." And Shmuel's Mechadesh, a big thing, as you're about to see right now, the Amra, she says, "Lo ra'eina bach, v'lo tzavina bach. I don't want you, and I do not desire you." Just interesting, by the way. The word seve is another word for want or desire. Sometimes you see this. It's in Anam Zmiros, it's in a bunch of places, that tzvi means like want, like tzvi tefarto, rataris tzvi, all these things. And that means a desire, a yearning. It's interesting, whatever, because like tzvi is also a deer. So I don't know if there's a connection there, except for the fact that if you desire something, that means, get ready for this, that it's very dear to you. If you appreciated that, you'll be ready for tomorrow's contest, the Rabbi Joke contest. You should prepare. But meanwhile, don't use that joke. But I thought I was pretty not so great, which is the point. Anyway, so what? She's saying, "I'm not interested, but I'm not interested in you," says she. "Bahu delo reina, you I don't want. Haba chavrach, but your friend, meaning the other one, the other brother, reina." She's interested in him, which is a big chiddush, because Shmuel just said, according to the Ramban, this is how he explains it. But what Ula is saying is that when she tells him, "I'm not interested," and then I'm uprooting the whole marriage, she can say, "I'm only uprooting the whole marriage with respect to you, Levi, but with respect to Shimon and Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun and Reuven, the marriage is still standing," which is a massive chiddush. Yeah, we're saying that she totally undoes everything. She doesn't really undo the marriage. She undoes the marriage in respect to this guy. It's like a little bit like interesting. That's what he says. Ravasi Omar Ravasi says, or some people say Ravase. Omar, by the way, in case you're curious, whatever, don't call me Ravase. Just grammatically, it's not correct. Because even if the Nikud here, Aleph, sin, is it should be Ase, like it sometimes is, and for Svardim. But mine is not Aleph sin, it's Ayin sin. Sorry, not Aleph Samach, it's Ayin sin, which is a literally different word. So there's no Indian to call me Rav Asay. And a lot of people were machmir on that for a short tekufa, and I have hereby corrected that. Rav Asi Omer, what does he say? Me'ana bazeh, that's a good one. Me'ana bazeh. She did me'un to one? Mutaris afilu lo. She can even marry that very brother. Whoa. So again, she can, according to Ravasi, she can even marry the same brother she just did Mion to. Whoa. Gemara asks, Lema, could it be Ashaya? Maybe the reason Ravasi holds this is very fancy. Is it's actually not, but is that he doesn't hold like Ula. Ula said that her Mion does something, and the question is just exactly how much it does. Maybe Ravasi holds that no, her Mion does nothing. So since her Mion, she cannot undo the Zika. So her Mion was irrelevant, and therefore she could still marry him, not because even though she did Mion. What she did wasn't a Mion. Is that the Pshat? They didn't marry Inam and Ma'enas the Zika, so because Rav Hoshea says she cannot do Mion to the Zika? No. When it comes to one Yavam, Hachinami really, yes, Matziaka, she could do Yibam. She could do Mion and undo it. Hacha b'shnei Yavam in Askinam. Here we're dealing with two Yavams. And therefore, de'ein me'on l'chatzi zika. There's no me'on for half a zika, meaning that we're assuming, like we were just saying before, that when she does me'on to a brother, to one brother out of many, she's not undoing the entire marriage absolutely. She's trying to undo just part of the marriage, just in respect to that brother. And he holds that doesn't work. So therefore, if she undoes the entire marriage and just wants to go home, that's fine. But to say, "No, I'm not interested in being married to you. So mitzvah you, the marriage is nothing," that has no validity, and that's why she can therefore remarry. Continuing in the Gemara, Ki Asar Ravin Amar Rav Yochanan. Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He quoted Rav Yochanan, "Mi'ana bazeh mutaris la'achin." If she does mi'un to one of them, she can marry the other brothers, which we said was the opinion of Shmuel. The Gemara went, oh, sorry, below Holdulo, and they did not agree with him. Who's they? Who disagreed with him? Everyone except for Shmuel. Amar Abaye says Rav disagreed with him. Rav Amar Rav Oshaya. Roshi disagreed with him. Amar Lo Rav Asi, and some people say it was Rav Asi. Meaning they're not just Stam arguing and who disagreed. It's slightly different understandings of the lamdas behind what Rav Yochanan is saying, and therefore the who's would be the person to argue with that. Fine. New thing. Beis Shammai Omri. We saw in the Mishnah that he can only do Miyun in front of the actual brother, the man, in front of the actual husband, and not outside of his presence. Tanya, we have a bright about this. Amr Lehen Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, Velo Pishon HaGamal Miyona Ishtel Shalabafana. There's a guy named Pishon HaGamal. That sounds like a children's television show a little bit nowadays, but he's Pishon the camel driver. His wife did Miyun while he wasn't there. That happened. So Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, hello, this literally happened. Amr Lehen, no. Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, basically, since he was being a terrible person, he was using an inverted measure, which means that he was taking all the peros away from the property, which we said was a bad thing before. So therefore, I mean, therefore the rabbis let her like get out of it in like not such a nice way, even though really halachically it should be that. Now the Gemara said, meaning really it should be b'fanav, but here they let her do it shalom b'fanav because he was breaking the rules, kind of. So they let her break the rules back. The Gemara makes an inference, and then we're going to pause in a sec. We see that he's allowed to eat the fruits, right? We're letting him eat the fruits, which means that there's a nesuin. Wait a minute, Vamar Beis Shammai. The Shammai says nesuah lo miyun. Remember the first thing in the Mishnah that you can't do miyun when there's already nesuin. But if he's eating the fruits, then he's allowed to have a nesuin. I mean, there must already be Nisuin. So if it's a stage of Nisuin, and Beis Shammai seems okay with the Miyun in principle. So how is Beis Shammai okay with the Miyun in principle? If they hold a Miyun at that point, it would not work. The answer is, that's true. But again, as we said, he was being terrible. Therefore, we let her out with like kind of a funny loophole. Trei kitrei avdube. They knotted him. Kitrei is like kosher, like a knot. Knot. An easy way to remember that is not kosher. Yeah, Trei Kitri Avdube, that they used two knots on him, a double knot, meaning there were two ways they chopped him, or Arayin, or whatever the way to say that in Yiddish would be. One is that they let her do a Shalom B'Fanav, and two, that they let her do it at all at the time of Nisuin. Welcome back, everyone. So the next ruling of the Mishnah was that Beis Shammai say the Miyun has to be in a court, and Beis Hillel says, no, it doesn't have to be in a court. Even so, though, there are people who have to see. As we're about to see, Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah elsewhere. Hachalitza v'miyun and b'shlosha. Both chalitza and miyun require three people. The question is, man Tana, who taught that Mishnah that says the miyun must be in front of three people? Amar Rabba. Rabba says Beis Shammai. It's Beis Shammai, because he says it needs to be in front of a court. And we're going to see another opinion in a minute. I just want to point out again. We remember that the Rabbi Joe contest is tomorrow. You know, the winner of the first ever Rabbi Joe contest. Just to give you an idea of what it was, I still like that one very much. Is from Morty Soloff back in the day. The question was, I believe, what are the rabbi's favorite state? And the answer was right here in our Gemara, Man Tana. So that's an idea of the type of thing we're trying to do. If you don't get it, that hopefully means you get it. So simple pshat is that Beis Shammai is the one who said it because you need three people. Three people sounds a lot like a court to me, and that's why it's Beis Shammai. But Abaye says no. By Amar Abaye says if you want him to be Beis Hillel, it could even be Beis Hillel. Ad kan lo kamri Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel only said you don't need a court. What does that mean? Ella delo beinan mumchen. You don't need judges, expert judges, real court type of judges. But which symbol pshat could mean that they need smicha, whatever it is. But it's not a full absolute Beis Din. Aval shlosha beinan. We do require three judges, like Kataras Nedarim type of thing. Beis Shammai says has to be before a court. It could be in front of a court or not in front of a court. But even so, both of them, both of them, they agree that you need three people. You just don't need them to be court type of people. So you just go after Shachar's finer and three people, and they can do the Mion good. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, there will those Yosef Yehuda and Shimon say that even two people work. The Beis Shammai will say you need three people. The question is how qualified they have to be. Those are Those people, they hold no, even two people. Very nice. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef bar Manyumi. Rav Yosef bar Manyumi says, Amar Rav Nachman, that the halach is like that pier. And what does that mean? It means like those two people who say two is okay. Now, there's some question in the Rishonim whether two people means, I mean, obviously two people means two people. The question is whether two people are okay. Does that mean two people are okay b'di'avad? B'di'avad after the fact that if you did it in front of two people, it would work? Or to that l'chadchila that you could do it with two people and that's the ideal and you don't need three at all? That's an excellent question, which is why the Rishonim ask it. Moving on to the last part of our Mishnah, which is the last point in the Mishnah had said that Beis Shammai says that she has to do miyun and then get remarried. That's how it would work. She can do miyun and then grow up and then do miyun and marry again. The question is, why did she do miyun again? She already did miyun. Why is she doing it a second time? Shmuel says, she's not doing miyun again. She's reiterating that she wants the first miyun. Meaning, the Katana could theoretically do miyun, undoing the marriage, or at least undoing the Kedusha, the Erisin, as we said. It can't be undoing the Suin, according to Bishabbat. And then when she becomes a Bas Mitzvah, right before that, she has to say that I still want the miyun. If she doesn't say she still wants the miyun, or if she indicates that she actually changed her mind and does want to stay with the guy, then she really is married to the guy. That's what Shmuel says. Ooh, Amar, no. Tarti Katani, we're talking about two totally different things. Either one case is that she does miyun, and then we don't let her marry anyone else again, because as Bishama says, we don't want her to become hefker. So she does miyun, let's just say when she's 11, and then she just waits all the way until she's old enough to get married, and then she gets married then, and miyun is not a possibility, and that's how we ensure she can only do miyun once. Or another way to ensure she could do miyun once, according to Beis Shammai, who holds that there's no miyun after nisuin, is after she does the first miyun, if she wants to get married again, she can get married again. But the way she does it is she has a kedushin and then immediately afterward she has a nisuin. That way, precluding any possibility of miyun. Either way, we've solved the problem, and she goes her whole life without needing having another second miyun be possible. The Gemara just brings a diuk. It works according to Ula, who says that she has another way to get married, which is that she can marry a second guy, and then boom, nisuin right away. So there's no option for miyun. That works. That's what it says in the Mishnah. That she grows up and then does miyun. I mean, she waits until she does miyun. Or she could do miyun vatina say and then actually have nisuin right away. It reads really nicely that she A grows up or B miyun and then nisuin, meaning miyun from the first guy and then straight to nisuin on the second guy. Therefore, no more miyun. About Elo Shmuel, according to Shmuel, why does it say that? You don't need a second miyun. It should have just said that when she grows up and says, I still want my miyun, that's all it needed to say. Why is it saying that she's having another miyun? It's a weird language. Where answers Kasha. This is really a good question. And that brings us to our first Mishnah Mazel Tov in the Parak. Congratulations, everyone, on learning a whole Mishnah's worth of Gemara in only one day. We'll get a little more of Gemara coming after this Mishnah. Mishnah says, Ezuhi Katana Shitzricha Lamai. What is a Katana who needs to do a miyun? Rishonim discussed this, but the simple understanding meaning that if you have someone, let's just say, for example, who's two, right? So everyone knows that if a two-year-old, the parents, quote-unquote, marry her off without her consent, right? It's not even relevant. Right? Okay, she's sitting in the guy's apartment. You know, but when she crawls out and she goes somewhere else, there was just nothing happened here, halachically. What's the line? How does it work? The answer is you need some sort of consent. Kol shehesi'ua ima v'achea la'adam. Anyone whose mother or brother married her off with her consent. However, if they did it without her consent, she doesn't need formal miyun. That's not a marriage at all, even midrabanan. Rechanina ben Antigonos Omer, Rechanina ben Antigonos says, besides for what he says in Pirkei Avos, he adds another point. Any girl who is not able to guard her Kedushin object, meaning, you know, whatever, he gave her a ring or a ring ding or a ring pop or whatever. And now if she has it and she keeps it, I mean, I guess in those cases she could probably eat it, but whatever, she knows how to guard it. It's not like, you know, when you give a baby a toy Right, and the baby plays with it for like a minute, and then the baby just goes off and gets distracted and forgets it owns the toy. That obviously doesn't count. Again, very interesting discussion on the Rishonim. Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Rabbi Eliezer says, "Ein maaseh ketana klum." The Gemara will discuss what this means later, but simply, this is not really a marriage, even though we're saying it has some status of the marriage. But really, her das is nothing, and any action she does is nothing halachically. It's like a case of pitui. She happens to be living with him, but it's not a halachic marriage. And therefore, bas Yisrael l'kohen, an Israelite girl who marries a kohen in this way, lo tochal b'truma. Even though if the kohen marries an adult, she could eat truma, but not in this case, because it's halachically nothing. So she's not his kinyan. And similarly, bas Yisrael, sorry, bas kohen Yisrael, daughter of a kohen, who could eat truma as long as she's single. And then once she marries an Israelite, even though she has a lot of Kohanim in her family, but she can't eat truma anymore, right? Because she became part of the Israelite family. So therefore she can't eat truma. But this girl, since she's not really married, so therefore bas kohen will Yisrael tochel betruma. Even though she's a bas kohen and she's married to Yisrael, she could still eat truma because she's not really married. Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, he brings another thing to tell whether it's mion or not. It's an interesting one. Kol akava shehu mina ish. Anytime she holds back, meaning anytime she stays with that man living in his house, and the staying is because of the man, meaning she stays with him because it's him, and she understands she's married to him. Kilu hi ishtu, then she's his wife. Kol akava she'ena mina ish, then she's staying there not because of the man. Kilu eina ishto, is not considered his wife. The Gemara will explain this further. But fine. For right now, we have a simple point. This next Gemara is going to be really convenient because it's just going to tell us literally what is Mion. We've been talking about Mion since September, and now we are August, and now we're going to just literally understand what it is. Amar of Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Amar Lomas Lissatana, we have it right down. Amar of Yehuda, Rishona, he called him and gets Mion. Sorry, you guys, just I've been a little under the weather lately. Rishona, you call them and get Mion. Initially, in the Mion document, they would write the following: Lo nisht interested, Belutzavina Bey, and I don't want him. Belais Ana Ba'iyal Hisnatsva Bey, and I don't want to be married to him. Chazaka, she really not interested. Kevin the Chazu de Navash Dibiru. Kevin the Chazu de Navash Dibiru. When they saw that the words were too much, Amri, they said, people are going to get mixed up and think that this is a get, whatever exact chas v'shalom, but then people would actually write a get with the same language, which they don't need to do because it's irrelevant to the language of a get. Therefore, to not confuse the sofrim, takinu hachi, therefore they instituted the following. But instead of writing that whole thing, she doesn't want him, she's not interested, and she doesn't want to be married to him, instead, she says no. Biyom ploni, mi ona ponis bas ploni be'anafna, be'anpana, I'm sorry. That on X day or whatever Ploni day, Miana Plonis, this random Sprinzi, Bas Ploni, the daughter of Sprinzu, I don't know how you say Sprinzi in a boy conjugation, but Anpana in front of us, that's when Mian was performed, that's how it was performed, and that was the end, as well as the end of this recording.